This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
الحمد لله رب العالمين الصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين أما بعد أيها الأخوة الكرام السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. I think somebody else is having a problem saying won't allow me to join. That's Mumtaz. Anyway, I'll let you deal with that. أما بعد فنسأل الله تعالى أن يتقبل منا ويغفر لنا ذنوبنا ويكفر عنا سيئاتنا نسأله بعلم نافع ورزق واسع وعليه نتوكل وإليه المصير ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. Praise be to Allah, Lord of the worlds. Peace and blessings on His Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. After saying salam to you all, brothers and sisters, we begin, as always, by asking Allah to accept from us our efforts, to purify our intentions, to forgive us and guide us always. On Him we utterly depend, to Him is our return, and there is no power and might except that of Allah. We're carrying on with Hadith At-Tasi Ashar, 19th, as in Imam An-Nawwi's 40 hadith compilation. And just to quickly remind you of the hadith, which is reported by Tirmidhi in its authentic version, the first one that Imam Tirmidhi mentions. عن أبي العباس عبد الله بن عباس رضي الله عنهما قال كنت خلف النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يوما فقال لي يا غلام إني أعلمك كلمات احفظ الله يحفظك احفظ الله تجده تجاهك إذا سألت فاسأل الله وإذا استعنت فاستعن بالله واعلم أن الأمة لو اجتمعت على أن ينفعوك بشيء لم ينفعوك إلا بشيء قد كتبه الله لك وإن اجتمعوا على أن يضروك بشيء لم يضروك إلا بشيء قد كتبه الله عليك رفعت الأقلام وجفت الصحف. In this one, Abdullah ibn Abbas reports that I was behind the Prophet of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam one day, meaning on a camel or on a horse or a mule, and he said, "Young man, I shall teach you some words. Yeah, be mindful of Allah and He will protect you. Be mindful of Allah and you will find Him in front of you. If you ask, ask of Allah. If you seek help of Allah. Know that if a nation were to gather together to benefit you with anything, it would benefit you only with something that Allah had already prescribed for you. And that if they were to gather together to harm you with anything, they would harm you only with something which Allah had already prescribed for you. The pens have been lifted and the pages have dried." Now, the second version, which Tirmidhi mentioned, I already clarified, is a weak version, and the authentic version of that, which is very similar in words, but we take the authentic version, which has a similar beginning to this, the one I've mentioned, with a few additions. And that one is in Ahmad, from Ibn Abbas again. All the beginning of it is basically the same as this one that I've narrated. And after mentioning about that no one can harm you with anything except which Allah has already ordained, in this one, it mentions that the Prophet ﷺ said, وَعَلَمْ أَنَّ فِي الصَّبْرَ عَلَى مَا تَكْرَهُ خَيْرًا كَثِيرًا. Know that surely in patience and steadfastness, yeah, on that which you dislike, there is great, great benefit. And know that surely victory comes with fortitude and steadfastness, sabr, and that ease comes with affliction, and that with every difficulty comes ease, with every hardship comes ease. Yeah, the previous one was with every affliction comes relief. Yeah, slightly different words, meaning similar meaning. So last time we only got as far as, if we take the first hadith, because the additional part will take from the other hadith at the end. We got to the part after the Prophet ﷺ said, be mindful of Allah and He will protect you. And we covered that in the last session. So we move on to the next part, in which the Prophet ﷺ says, ihfazillah, tajidhu tujahak. And in the other version, tajidhu amamak. Same meaning, be mindful of Allah, yeah, and you will find Him in front of you. Yeah, this is a bit different to saying, and He will protect you. You'll find Him in front of you. Ibn Rajab says that this particular portion really is saying, talking about Allah's presence and accompanying, yeah, and His presence and accompanying and being with the people, yeah. And this ma'iyya, as it is called in Arabic, yeah, accompanying of Allah, for the one who is mindful of the boundaries set by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the rights, meaning in following haram and halal, being wary and doing the duties that Muslims are supposed to do, both in ibadah and in character, in keeping the boundaries. So finding Allah in front of you, meaning with you. So that can have an idea of positiveness, Allah being with you, and also an idea of warning as well. So, for example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah An-Nahl, verse 1-8, He says, "Inna Allaha ma'alladhina taqaw walladhina hum muhsinun." Surely Allah is with those who are mindful, who have taqwa in Him, of course, and those who are muhsinun, doers of good deeds. Yeah, so this here, ma'alladhina, Allah being with those, is bushra, is glad tidings, isn't it? Allah is there, in other words, to protect them, to give them the tawfiq and the ability to do more good, increase them in their iman, and to support them. Yeah, that's the positive meaning of that. So Ibn Rajab divides the al-ma'iyya, this accompanying or presence of Allah, wherever we are, into two categories. One he calls al-ma'iyyatul khassa, which is special accompanying and presence of Allah and support of Allah. And that you could really say is for, and because the examples they give is for messengers and anbiya and rusul. So for example, when Musa alayhi salam, Harun are mentioned, and when they're going to go face Pharaoh, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "La takhafa innani ma'akuma asma'u wa ara." Yeah, saying to them, both of you, don't be afraid. Look where they're going. They're meeting the tyrant, yeah, most cruel tyrant that ever lived. Yeah. And they're going to go and give the message to him. And so Allah saying, "La takhafa, do not be afraid. Surely I am with you both. I hear and I see." Yeah, that kind of, or Allah SWT says to Musa alayhi salam, and it's in the Quran from his mouth, he says, "Inna ma'ya Rabbi sayahdeen." Surely my Lord is with me and He will guide me. Yeah, He will soon guide me. And then you find a similar finding Allah in front of you, the idea to support and to protect, with when the Prophet ﷺ is escaping from Mecca, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, Siddiq is with him, and they hide in the Ghari Saul. And when they're in this small cave, the Prophet ﷺ said, as he mentioned, Bukhari Muslim, this hadith, the Prophet ﷺ says to Abu Bakr, قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لأبي بكر وهما في الغار, when they were both in the cave, ما ظنك بإثنين الله ثالثهما, what do you think, Abu Bakr, because Abu Bakr was afraid, Abu Bakr is not the Prophet, yeah, despite his strong belief, Abu Bakr was afraid, and as many ulama say, correct, he wasn't afraid for himself, he was afraid for the Prophet. His whole behavior on that hijrah is showing that. So that's not just something made up. He was afraid for the Prophet. So the Prophet is calming Abu Bakr down, saying, what do you think? What do you think about two, and with them the third is Allah? Yeah. La tahzan inna Allah ma'ana. Yeah. Do not fear, do not be afraid, surely Allah is with us. And that is also, of course, brought out in the Quran when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in Surah Tawbah, Surah 9, verse 40, for your reference. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِلَّا تَنصُرُوهُ فَقَدْ نَصَرَهُ اللَّهُ إِذْ أَخْرَجَهُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا ثَانِيَ اثْنَيْنِ إِذْ هُمَا فِي الْغَارِ إِذْ يَقُولُ لِصَاحِبِهِ لَا تَحْزَنْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَنَا فأنزل الله سكينته عليه وأيده بجنود لم تروها وجعل كلمة الذين كفروا السفلى وكلمة الله هي العليا والله عزيز حكيم. It will matter little if you do not help the Prophet, for Allah surely helped him when the disbelievers drove him out of his home. Yeah. When they drove him out of his home, and he was but one of the two when they were in the cave. This is the Quran saying it. And when he said to his companion, meaning the Prophet ﷺ, said to Abu Bakr, do not grieve, Allah is with us surely. Then Allah caused his tranquility to descend upon them and supported him, the Prophet, that is, with hosts you did not see, that's in later time in the battle, in other words, in Badr. And he humbled the words of the disbelievers. As for Allah's word, it is inherently uppermost. Allah is all powerful, all wise. So that's also the idea of ihfadillah tajidhu tujahak or amamak, but a special ma'iyah or presence of Allah support for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as for Musa and Harun before them. Ibn Rajab then says al-ma'iyatul amma, a general knowing of Allah's presence. When, of course, this hadith, when it mentions, this is from me, when the hadith says ihfadilha tajidhu tujahak, it's not mentioning it in a negative way, is it? It's not mentioning it in a way that be mindful of Allah. Somebody's got the mic on.
You're muted.
I didn't mute it. I don't know who did that. Okay.
My apologies. Sorry. I did it from my side.
Yeah. So the hadith, if you're still with me, when we look at that portion of hadith, when it says ihfadilha tajidhu tujahak or amamak, be mindful of Allah, you will find him in front of you, it's not giving it as a warning, because the one who is mindful of Allah, then they're given glad tidings of Allah being in front of them or with them. Yes, it's a positive. It's not going to say be mindful of Allah, woe be to you, is it? So when Ibn Rajab mentioned the other kind of togetherness, which is not special as it was for prophets and messengers, nevertheless, it's mentioned in the Quran. It comes in two ways. It comes in a way of warning, yeah, or in a way of glad tiding, or both, actually. So if we mention, for example, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in Surah Al-Mujadala, which is Surah 58, verse 7, there Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, أَلَمْ تَرَ أَنَّ اللَّهَ يَعْلَمُ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ مَا يَكُونُ مِنْ نَجْوَى ثَلَاثَةٍ إِلَّا هُوَ رَابِعُهُمْ وَلَا خَمْسَةٍ إِلَّا هُوَ سَادِسُهُمْ وَلَا أَدْنَى مِنْ ذَلِكَ وَلَا أَكْثَرَ إِلَّا هُوَ مَعَهُمْ أَيْنَمَا كَانُوا ثم ينبئهم بما عملوا يوم القيامة إن الله بكل شيء عليم. So, if we look at this ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, do you not realize that Allah knows whatever is in the heavens and whatever is in the earth? Never is there any, whispering among three, but he is the fourth, Allah, their fourth, nor among five, but he is their sixth company of the, meaning he's in the sixth in the company, nor fewer, nor more than that, but he is with them wherever they may be. And then he will tell them on the day of judgment all that they have done. Surely Allah knows all things, knows everything. So this ayah can be a good news and a warning as well, because on the day of judgment, he's going to inform them what they were whispering about, whether it was good or bad. So it has both meanings. Similarly, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Hadid, وَهُوَ مَعَكُمْ أَيْنَمَا كُنْتُمْ وَاللَّهُ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ بَصِيرٌ, he is with you wherever you are. Surely Allah sees all things. Let me double check that it is. Surely Allah sees all things. Literally just here, right at the beginning of Surah Al-Hadid. وَهُوَ مَعَكُمْ أَيْنَمَا كُنْتُمْ وَاللَّهُ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ بَصِيرٌ. Yeah, he sees all that you do. So here, he is with you wherever you are and sees all things, is again, both can be a mixture of warning that you can't hide away from Allah for anything. He's with you always. And also in the way of, can be a way of glad tidings for those who are doers of good. Allah sees everything. You do it good in secret, Allah sees all things. He's with you all the time. Nobody has to know. You don't have to go on social media and do a selfie and say, look, I'm doing this. Well, that's another story, isn't it? Whatever nonsense we're doing seems to go on it, so we shouldn't waste our time with that kind of thing. Anyway, the point here isn't that. The point here is that Allah knows, yeah, and that's the whole idea of sincerity and not doing it for show. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in another verse, which again gives the idea, so you can, I don't want to take more time with this, but suffice it to say, the verse is to do with warning of Allah's presence and togetherness, is not the objective of what this part of the hadith is saying. This is me saying it. Because this hadith, when it says Allah is, you'll find him in front of you, is a positive, is a glad tiding for those who are being mindful of him. Yeah? So it's giving them good news. Then the Prophet ﷺ said, Ta'arraf ila Allahi fir raha. Ya'arifuka fi shidda. Yeah. And here he says, and know Allah, yeah, in prosperity. Yeah. Ta'arruf ila Allahi fi raha. Ya'arifuka fi shidda. this part actually, let me clarify for you before somebody pulls me up on it. This part, ta'arruf ilallahi fil raha ya'arifu fi shiddah, is it in this first hadith? Those of you got the hadith open in front of you, Imam Nawawi's. Come on, someone. How many people with me? 9. Anybody got their An-Nawawi open up in front of them?
Yes, we have.
Don't be shy. Is this part there? Know Allah in prosperity, He will know you in adversity.
Yeah, it says in the one with Riwayat Ghayr Tirmizi, Ihfazillah, Tajhidu
Imama. You didn't join us at the beginning, Suhail, you missed up. So it's in the weak narration, isn't it? It's not in the one I'm dealing with, the first, which is the first one, okay?
Okay, no, it's not in the first, yes.
And remember, when I said we have an alternative to the second narration, which has those parts in it, and I mentioned it at the beginning of today's session in Ahmad, you'll find that this part, ta'arraf ilayhi fi raha ya'rifuka fi shidda, is there. Okay?
Yeah.
When I'm going to consider this bit, we're not taking it from the first hadith. Remember both the hadith. Yeah? The authentic one in Tirmidhi and the authentic one that I'm mentioning from Ahmad in his Musnad, are of the same incidents, same companion, same story. So some of the narrators have got a bit more of the information than other narrators. Yeah, they're not two separate instances. It's the same teaching that the Prophet ﷺ gave at that particular instance when Abdullah ibn Abbas is sitting behind him. That's how we understand it. Everybody with me? So to complete, get the complete teaching, you bring both of those hadith together to have the full thing that happened. So of course we have in the authentic one, ta'arraf ilayhi, slightly ilallahi, same meaning, know Allah in prosperity, He will know you in adversity. What does that mean? Anyone?
Salam Sheikh, usually we remember Allah when we are in trouble, so we then start calling for Him, giving sadaqah, but when we are happy, usually we forget Him. That's my understanding.
Yes, very good. That's right. Let me just mention something which I didn't like in one of the shahs. Imam Tufi, I don't think he liked his comment either. I'll tell you why. When he came to this bit, know Allah in prosperity, He will know you in adversity, he says, Imam Tufi said, and I made a note to this comment, he says, yuqal, notice how he says it as well. He says, it is said, okay? He's not reporting from anything famous from anywhere. He says, it is said, إِنَّ الْعَبْدِ إِذَا تَعَرَّفِ لَلَّهِ بِالطَّاعَةِ فِي الرَّخَاء ثُمَّ دَعَى فِي شِدَّةِ قَالَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى هَذَا صَوْتُ أَعْرِفُهُ وَإِذَا لَمْ يَكُنْ مُتَعَرِّفًا إِلَيْهِ قَالَ هَذَا صَوْتُ لَا أَعْرِفُ دَعَوْهُ أَوْ كَمَا قِيلَ وَاللَّهُ عَلَمْ بِالصَّوَابِ. Imam Tufi says, it is said that when a slave knows Allah, yeah, by being obedient and following his guidance when he's in prosperity, and then he calls at the time of trial and difficulty, Allah says, this voice I recognize. Yeah? And if he doesn't know Him when he's in times of prosperity, then Allah says, this voice I don't recognize. Leave him alone, or something similar to this is said. This is Imam Tufi saying it. Allah only knows what is correct. Allah knows best what is correct. So he's not fully convinced by the statement himself. That's why he said, it is said, yeah, or something similar is said. And then when he says, and Allah knows best, yeah, whether this is right, he's got problems with it. I've definitely got problems with it. Yeah, this gives the impression of Allah doesn't recognize the slave. I mean, subhanAllah, if a person killing 99 people, never mind just in prosperity, all life can come back and plead with Allah, and Allah recognizes and forgives. What about this person? Yeah, so it's not hadith. It's not a statement any wise tabi'i, good tabi'i or sahabi. I don't agree with that statement at all. The real idea here is similar to sincerity of calling in shiddah, in difficulty. So the example the Quran gives of people who are not sincere, you all know, is somebody drowning at sea. And you can apply that example to any other situation where somebody is in great turmoil and they have nobody else to turn to, yeah, except God. And perhaps the only film that I can think of where that idea comes out is, has anybody seen The Grey? With Liam Neeson. Any offers? Yay, nay. Anyway, they'll be saying next Sheikh is recommending us to watch films. Yep, I don't mind you watching that one. But here he's alone at the end again, and he has no one else left, and he's in a dire situation of death, and he calls out to God. But it's not a very pleasant way he calls out to God in this case, but that's typical Hollywood. I don't think he'll be calling out like that. But anyway, the idea is the insincere person who calls out to God when they're drowning and when what Allah says in the ground, when they get back and Allah saves them, yeah, it's Allah's decision if he saves them, but if he does, then they go back on what they said and then carry on living the miserable life that they were living of disbelief and disregard as they were doing before. So that is, that's the idea of the sincerity. That's partly the idea here, that Allah will know you in adversity, yeah, if you are also following that kind of attitude when you were in prosperity. Yeah? Not just when it comes to difficulty, you suddenly turn to Allah and then you forget him, the rest of that. That's called two-faced, isn't it, in our own language, yeah? The idea this person is two-faced, and this is being two-faced with Allah, yeah, not with a human being. We'd notice this. You know, imagine that in a human sense, I'm just thinking, I don't get any call from this person for years and years, and then they call me because they need money or they need dire help, so I help them, right? And then they disappear again for a long time, and then I hear from them again when they're in similar adversity and they need money from me, and then I don't hear from them again. Yeah, and it happens. That kind of behavior is not positive behavior. It's not positive behavior. So the idea is of knowing Allah in prosperity. That is also knowing Allah, meaning still being mindful of Allah. Knowing Allah in prosperity means that you do shukr and gratitude to Allah, and you still follow his guidance, not only when it comes to difficulty, even though you may well, and there's nothing wrong with this actually, because this is the idea of ibtila, isn't it? Shidda and ibtila, and that's why so many hadith come about trials and tribulation. Allah gives trials and tribulations for those he loves. And the greatest of trials and tribulations are given to who? You're all saying prophets, of course, which is correct. I can't hear you, but I can hear you in my mind that you must be saying that. Yeah. So the idea, therefore, is that shidda will always produce greater dua and greater turning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than you would normally do. And there's nothing wrong with that. Yeah. Because you're not going to be in a similar situation as you are with prosperity. Yeah, but the idea of in prosperity is not to ignore Allah completely and be doing all sorts and become selfish and just run after dunya. So shidda, the idea is for a good person is to make them do more ibadah, more dua to Allah, yeah, which brings them closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Often our tribulations bring us closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Is that bad for us or good for us? It's actually good for us. Yeah. And all human beings know that the best human beings in character are those who've gone through trials and tribulations that I mentioned in other hadith before. And the ones who are the, you know, what do they call them? The snowflake generation. And I don't mean everybody in the snowflake generation, but the people who've had no trials and tribulations have got it, you know, silver or golden spoon, everything on a plate. Well, you often produce the worst kind of selfish individuals, not people of character. Yeah, people of character come through trials and tribulation, hardship. Ibn Rajab says there are two kinds of knowing of the abd, of the slave knowing his or her lord. One is a general one. That is the fact that he or she has iman, yeah, and confirm iman inside them. That is knowing Allah. Having iman means recognizing. Yeah, when you say, "Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah," you're declaring that. Yeah, you're recognizing your Lord is Allah and He's the only one worthy of worship. That is a ma'rifah, knowing Allah. And he said, then there's a special one, which is more than that. Yeah, which is inclining the heart, inclining towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's an inner one. Yeah? The kind of thing that Imam Abu Hamid Ghazali would talk about. Yeah. What are the secrets? What's the spirit of worship? What's the spirit of the iman? And how you find contentment and solace in remembering Allah, in the zikr of Allah, and in being modest, as though Allah's with you watching and seeing what you're doing, and some element of fear of Allah that He's of the Day of Judgment. Yeah, so that's also knowing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Lord, but it's more than just iman. And then he says there's two kinds of knowing of Allah. Yeah, remember the hadith says He will know you in shiddah. So two kinds of Allah's knowing of His or His slave. A general one, and that is His Allah's knowledge about all His ibad, yeah. But that's not what this hadith is talking about, yeah. Even though Ibn Rajab is mentioning these two types from Allah, the hadith is not talking about this first kind. This is the one that the same idea from earlier. وَهُوَ مَعَكُمْ أَيْنَمَا كُنْتُمْ. He is with you wherever you are. Yeah, all human beings. Or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي أَنِّي. Well, that would be more for for a positive one. So I wouldn't actually use that. I would use وَلَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ وَنَعْلَمُ مَا تُوَسْوِسُ بِهِ نَفْسُ وَنَحْنُ أَقْرَبُ إِلَيْهِ مِنْ حَبْلِ الْوَرِيدِ. Indeed, we are the ones who created the human being. We know that which whispers inside his soul. Yeah, what whispers are going on inside his soul? And we are nearer to him or her than their jugular vessels. وَنَحْنُ أَقْرَبُ إِلَيْهِ مِنْ حَبْلِ الْوَرِيدِ. So this is the knowledge that Allah has of all His creation. Yeah. But in this hadith, we're talking about Allah's recognizing or knowing His slave, a special one, which is really to do with the mahabbah and love of Allah for His slave. Yeah. The one who knows Allah in prosperity and in difficulty. Yeah. And that will be brought about, that's to do with Allah's love, yeah, back to His slave. And that idea will be brought about more in another hadith that we're going to cover in future, hadith number 38 in Nawawi's, as the consequence of Allah's recognizing that kind of slave are just amazing, yeah. And linked with finding Allah in front of you, yeah? And they're all positive, and they will come out when we look at that hadith in more detail. Now, Nevertheless, also we have Ibn Rajab then mentions a hadith which is transmitted by Tirmidhi, and it is a good hadith, Hassan, from Shahr ibn Khawshab, and from Abu Huraira radiallahu anhuma. قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من سره أن يستجيب الله له عند الشدائد فليكثر دعاء في الرخاء. Whoever is hopeful, and happy that Allah should answer him or her when he is going through difficult times, then he or she should increase their dua when they are in times of prosperity. Yeah, that's an encouragement from the Prophet ﷺ, not to forget Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay, let's move on. The next bit, the Prophet ﷺ says, وَإِذَا سَأَلْتَ فَاسْأَلِ اللَّهِ وَإِذَا اسْتَعَنْتَ فَاسْتَعِنْ بِاللَّهِ. And if you ask, so ask Allah. And if you seek help, then seek help of Allah. Seek help of Allah. Ibn Rajab quite rightly pointed out, as did Imam Tufi as well, and remember, you're going back to the 6th and 7th century, they both mentioned that this is similar to what we do when we recite Surah Al-Fatiha in our Salah. And in Surah Al-Fatiha, we say, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. You alone we worship. You alone we ask for help. And so Ibn Rajab and Imam Tufi are saying that this is what the meaning is here. You alone we ask, and you alone we ask for help. You alone we turn to make dua. إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ. Remember, su'al, when you ask, to ask is to make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, isn't it? Same meaning as well. When you ask only of Allah. So it can have the meaning of dua, because when you ask Allah, that is dua. But the su'al from others is going to have a wider meaning, as we'll see. And asking help, ask only of Allah. Thus we say, you alone we worship. In other words, you alone we make dua to ask. You alone we ask for help. Iyak means you alone. Interesting that a few hundred years later then, the famous book by Ibn al-Qayyim is Madarij al-Salikin Baina Iyaka Na'budu wa Iyaka Nasta'in, which is a few volumes actually. I still haven't read that, and I hope to in the future, because it's a very spiritual book. The Stations of the Seekers between Iyaka Na'budu wa Iyaka Nasta'in. So this is a voluminous work of Ibn al-Qayyim, very famous and very spiritual work. And he's got, similar ideas are there a few hundred years later of the importance of this ayah, Iyyaka na'budu wa Iyyaka nasta'in. Interestingly, isn't it, that who's heard Prime Minister Imran Khan's speeches in the last few years? Even bits of them. Any offers? Come on, you can put your mics on and respond. Anyone?
Just a few off and on.
No one.
Very few off and on. Yeah, sorry.
How does he start his speech?
Yeah, sorry, don't recall that. No.
He says, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Then he says, Iyyaka na'budu wa Iyyaka nasta'in. So all of you, you'll notice that when you listen next time. He doesn't recite all of Fatiha. He just says, Iyaka. He'll just start with Iyaka na'budu wa Iyaka nasta'in, then he starts. Which is interesting, isn't it? Okay, so this asking, where are we for time? We're all right for time yet. This asking, has a general meaning. If you ask, ask only of Allah. So asking, and as we'll see from one or two hadith I'm going to mention, the Prophet ﷺ encouraged believers to become independent and not dependent beings, but dependent only on Allah. So when I say independent, I mean independent from asking others. And part of asking is begging. But it's not only begging, it's even asking for help for other kind. The encouragement was that be self-sufficient, stand on your own feet. In other words, help others instead of asking for help. That's why we know in authentic hadith that he said that the upper hand is better than the lower hand. What does that mean? Al-yad al-ulya khayrun min al-yad al-sufla.
The hand giving is better than the hand receiving.
Exactly. That's the same idea. So that's the same idea. So Prophet ﷺ, in same way, in this part of the hadith, is saying similarly, yeah? If you ask, ask of Allah alone, yeah? And that asking, so asking for others in a general sense. Of course, we go and ask for a job. Of course, we go and ask to seek knowledge from teachers and things like that. Of course, we're dependent on each other. In the end, we can't do without each other. We can't do without parents. We can't do, you know, because that's the way Allah created us. But yeah, where we have a choice and we are not that dependent, it is better to be as independent and standing on your own feet, but only be dependent on Allah, of course, not the idea of and turn to Allah to ask, because everything He controls anyway. So talking about why this is similar, if you ask Allah, is as Iyyaka na'bud, you alone we worship, the Prophet ﷺ said, ad-du'a, which is as-su'al, asking Allah, in the case of asking Allah, is dua, isn't it? So the Prophet ﷺ authentically said, ad-du'a huwa al-ibadah. Dua is ibadah. Yeah. Then he recited, which I mentioned this before as well in other sessions, then he recited, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from the Quran, وَقَالَ رَبُّكُمُ ادْعُونِي أَسْتَجِبْ لَكُمْ إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَسْتَكْبِرُونَ عَنْ عِبَادَتِي سَيَدْخُلُونَ جَهَنَّمَ دَاخِرِينَ. Then he recited, and your Lord says, and said, ادْعُونِي, call unto me, أَسْتَجِبْ لَكُمْ, I will answer you. Surely only those who are arrogant from my ibadah, arrogantly stay away from my ibadah. So notice that the calling on Allah, yeah, on one side is replaced by ibadah for the arrogant, which means it's the same thing. That's why Prophet ﷺ used that as an evidence. Some people, and Ibn Rajab did the same as well, and it's very famous, but it is, I just want to mention it. They mention, instead of ad-du'a huwa al-ibadah, they say ad-du'a mukhul ibadah. Du'a is the brain center of ibadah. This hadith, although it's famous, is da'if. Yeah? It is not authentic, so there's no need for using it. Just use ad-du'a huwa al-ibadah. Ibn Rajab, as is his habit, and I mentioned the book that he did this in as well, and he does it even in his sharh of the 50 hadith as well. He mentions a few weak hadiths. One of them, it is in Ahmad and Tirmidhi, and it is a weak hadith, from Abu Huraira saying the Prophet said, "Man la yas'alillah, man la yas'alillahu yaghdab alayhi." Whoever doesn't ask Allah, Allah is angry with that person. This hadith is not authentic. There's no other hadith similar to it. But we can understand it from one aspect, that if you don't worship and do ibadah of Allah and ask Him, never ask Him for forgiveness, and never turn to Him and worship Him, then Allah's not going to be pleased with such a slave, is He? Yeah? So even that idea is, in a sense, correct. In an authentic hadith, which is in Nasa'i and Muslim, the Prophet took bayah from a companion, a group of companions, and in them was Abu Bakr, Abu Dharr, Thoban, and others. And what he took bayah from them is, and I'm just mentioning part of the hadith because it's short of time, he said on that you worship only Allah and don't associate any partners with Him, and that you commit to 5 daily prayers and to obey Allah and His Messenger. وَلَا تَسْأَلُ النَّاسْ شَيْئًا, and also give bayah, your agreement, that you will not ask people for anything. Yeah. And in a hadith similar to that in Muslim, then it mentions some of these companions, that the way they used to behave, that if one was, for example, on a camel or on a horse, and his whip, you could say, or what they had, stick, fell out of their hand, they would not ask a person on the ground to pass it to them. They would get off the animal and pick it up themselves. So this is mentioned in Sahih Muslim specifically as how the Sahaba behaved, keeping these teachings in mind of not becoming dependent on others, yeah, helping others, but not asking all the time for help from others. And that keeps people in humility as well, in a sense of and not making them feel that they are high and mighty and that others should run around making them. This doesn't take away from the fact, and we mustn't misunderstand, of having servants in the house, for example. Yeah? Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had a khadim in the house, and we're allowed to have servants in the house to help, who we take care of and we pay. Yeah, that's a different ball game. So don't get the two things mixed up. As far as further asking Allah for help, we have the hadith, which I've mentioned many occasions, of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala coming down in the last third of the night, of the heavens drowning the earth, and calling out. And one of the things he's calling out at that time, is there anyone who is asking something of me? Surely I will grant it. Yeah? Surely I will grant it. Yeah? So this is the asking of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the idea really is complete and utter dependency on Allah. There's a famous hadith that's often mentioned in this. The meaning is fine, but the hadith is actually weak. And this hadith mentions about that if ask Allah, yeah, for all your needs. And this hadith is in Tabrani, Tirmidhi, and Ibn Hibban. Ibn Hibban said it was authentic, but it is actually mursal and weak. You can take Ibn Hibban's view for it if you wish. The meaning is all right. From Anas saying, the Prophet ﷺ said, لَيَسَلْ أَحَدُكُمْ رَبَّهُ حَاجَتَهُ كُلَّهَا حَتَّى يَسْأَلُهُ شِسْعَ نَعْلِهِ إِذِنْ قَطَعَ. Yeah? that you should all, each one of you should always ask his or her Lord for all his or her needs, for their needs. Yeah. Even ask Allah for the strap if it breaks off the sandal or the shoe. Yeah. And this is, some people translate it as even for shoelaces. You can use that meaning, but really it meant the strap on the sandal. Same idea, to ask even for something meager like that. Of course, asking Allah mustn't give us the impression, and the Sahaba never behaved that way, that you sit at home with your arms folded after your prayer and just look to the sky and keep asking, Ya Allah, send me food, Ya Allah, send me money, Ya Allah, do this for me. That's just nonsense. Nobody understood that from this. Yeah. So just to clear that idea up, this is not what's understood by depending on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that utter dependency brought out in the dua, isn't it? In the statement, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Yeah, there is no power and might except that of Allah. Allah controls everything. Yeah, that's why he's known as these words as from the treasures of Jannah. A hadith in Ahmad and Muslim and Nasa'i from Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, that the Prophet said, Al-mu'min al-qawi khayrun wa ahabbu ila Allah min al-mu'min al-da'if. This is famous hadith as well. Surely, yeah, a strong believer is more loving to Allah than a weak believer. Wa fi kullin khayr, and yet in all of them is good. Yeah, that's not to make the weak one. This is not talking about weak in iman, by the way. Yeah, because they're both mu'min. Yeah. Then a weak one, and both of them have good in them. Akhlis ala ma yanfauka wasta'in billah. Cherish and be eager for that which will benefit you. Meaning strive. Yeah, work hard. For the weak one to become strong, they have to do some exercise and walk around rather than sit and become a couch potato and say, I'm just weak. Yeah. So work needs doing and hard work. That's the idea. What would benefit you? Wasta'in billah. In other words, here, then ask Allah.
Somebody just interrupted me. No. Sorry, brothers and sisters, I'm deformed in the middle of it.
So notice again, this is a bit like kilha wa tawakkal, tie it and then trust in, have tawakkal in Allah. So here, be eager and cherish too on that which will benefit you. Be active and do. Wasta'in billah, and ask Allah for help. Wala ta'jiz, and do not feel helpless. Or lose heart. وَإِنْ أَصَابَكَ شَيْءٌ فَلَا تَقُلْ. And if any calamity befalls you, yeah, don't say, لَوْ أَنِّي فَعَلْتُ كَانَ كَذَا وَكَذَا وَلَكِنْ قُلْ. After it's already happened, don't say, لَوْ. If only I'd done this or done that, this would not happen, this would happen. Yeah. However, say, وَلَكِنْ قُلْ. However, say, قَدَّرَ اللَّهُ وَمَا شَاءَ فَعَلْ. This was the qadr of Allah, what has already happened. Yeah? Don't cry over spilt milk. قَدَّرَ اللَّهُ, this was the qadr of Allah. This is what was meant to happen. And whatever Allah wills, happens. فَإِنَّ لَوْ, Prophet said, for surely saying low, or you know, in English, if only, for the past. Yeah? Taftahu amal al-shaytan, yeah, opens up the doors of the deeds for Iblis and Shaytan to come in. Yeah. Now, Here, my point of mentioning this was asking Allah for help. The second point here is not to mean that you have a fire and a disaster at Hajj or Umrah, and then the government says, Ya qadar Allahu wa ma sha'a fa'al. It just happened, and just carry on the same. Yeah, not to learn any lessons from it, how we can avoid the fire in future, not to take any measures. Yeah, that would be against the first part of this, which says, be eager and chase to what will benefit you. You don't take any. So you learn from the lessons, but you don't fall into regret and despair of, only if I'd done that, this one, and then just stay there in that situation, yeah? Because you're also not accepting the qadr of Allah when you remain in that situation of regret, yeah? Of low, and that's why the Prophet says low is from shaitan, if only this, and just going over it again and again and again. And that can happen with a loved one dies. You know, 2007, my father passed away, and I remember afterwards some of, it's not a big sinful thing, I'm just mentioning it, as people start saying, perhaps if only we'd done that, if only we'd taken him 2 days earlier and this and that, you know, of course you think about that, but you don't dwell on this kind of thing because it's very negative. Yeah, it can only lead to not accepting that Allah has taken him and that was his time once it's happened. Yeah. So this has to be tread carefully, this idea of low, because it can open a door to shaitan and despair and not accepting the qadr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for those things that are already happened and passed. Which is the next part of the hadith, interestingly, because that's exactly where it goes to. Rufiyat al-aqlam wa jaffat al-suhuf. And we'll deal with the rest of the two or three parts next time, inshallah. The pens have been lifted, the pages have dried. That and a few other things which come from the second hadith. Before you all say that we've gone well over the hour, so give you a chance for some questions on what we've covered so far today, inshallah. Brothers and sisters, open for questions.
JazakAllah, Sheikh Suhail here. So just a comment that remember him in prosperity and he will remember even at adversity. So again, the concept doesn't apply to non-believers. For example, does Allah not help those who do not remember them at all, remember him at all? So he does help them in any way. So it's not like tit for tat that if you're going to do, and in all our distress, we still return to Allah, ask for forgiveness and ask for his help, and we get help from him regardless if we have remembered or not remembered him in prosperity. That was just a thought.
Yes, and that's why I didn't like that comment of Imam Tufi. And I don't think he liked it. That's why I mentioned that specifically, because that's what that gave the idea of, didn't it?
Yeah.
And we know the fact is otherwise. You can be a disbeliever all your life and you do tawbah at the end, Allah turns to you, yes?
Yeah.
So the real idea was, as I was trying to explain, about sincerity, yeah? And of course, encouraging believers to be mindful and do good deeds, even in prosperity, to be grateful, to make dua, as the hadith said of the Prophet ﷺ, do lots of dua, yeah? At times of prosperity. In other words, don't forget God. This is talking to believers, yeah? So that Allah gives you more reward, more likely to answer what you're asking for, because it's showing your sincerity with Allah, doesn't it? And that's why I gave the example of a person who only knows you and called you only when they need something. Otherwise, they're not interested. They're not seen as a sincere person, are they?
Yeah. Jazakallah.
I think so that's where we really need to understand it from that point of view. But Allah's merciful, and it's an encouragement of good character, isn't it? The Prophet says something encouraging.
Of course. And then if you remember somewhere in Quran, it is mentioned that I'm just trying to recall that when they're in trouble, they will remember me and pray to me. And when it comes to that, they are taken out of that trouble, they just forget me.
Remember I mentioned that the Quran mentioned about a drowning person. That's usually what Allah mentions. And two or three places in Surah Yunus, for example, it mentions it. Yeah. Surah Yunus or Surah Ibrahim. Yeah, that was the idea. And then when he saves them, when they're in the storm, oh, Allah save us, and I will follow and do this and do that. Those aren't the only examples from everyday life. Only those. I mean, nowadays you get these Hollywood typical films where they show people in that kind of situation, never even mention God. Yeah, don't be fooled by that. Because nobody was actually there when that person was on their own. And even if it's based on a true story, it's a bunch of lies. Yeah. Human nature, human being, when they're on their own, whether for a short while or a long time, in that deep distress and nobody else to turn, they will turn to God. They will call out to God.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
Assalamu alaikum, Shaykh. I just wanted to know, is it because of the fitra that time of that, whether they're unbelievers, still they call out food?
Absolutely right. You are right. Yes, it is indeed. Reality comes. Remember, kufr is covering up. Covering up. Yeah. And it's a distortion and covering up even of fitra. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put it in our fitra. And ever since human beings arrived, they've always looked up to the heavens. Yeah. No monkey, no chimp, no gorilla, no pig, no shark, no dolphin, the cleverest of animals, ever looked up to the heavens. Yeah. Human being did. As soon as they're right. Any other questions? To the extent you talk about fitra, I mean, isn't it sad how duped and deceived shaitans deceive so many humans that they don't remember God, they purposely ignore God, they mention God just to deny him, which means he's still there, because he's still, they have to spend time just going around saying, we don't believe in God because of this, we don't believe in God. So God's still there, they just can't get away from the idea. And then the general populace, not mindful, never remember God. When some calamity happens, not when actually good news happens, they never remember God. They think they've done it themselves. But when calamity happens, many occasions you'll hear people say, what kind of God is this? He did this to me. I lost my son. I lost my daughter. Yeah. Look at the irony. And then yet they want to still think that they're going to see that daughter and son one day. Yeah, the daughter and son is flying with the bird somewhere in a nice heavenly place with flowers and trees. Yeah. Yet they reject paradise and they reject hell. Try and decipher that out then. And Allah says that in the Quran. They gave themselves a good place in paradise themselves, despite the fact that they deny the quandary of human contradiction. And this is the duping and the deceiving of shaitan that does this to people. May Allah save us from that and guide those people. Any other questions? Nope, I'm pressing too hard now for you to ask questions. That's fine, inshallah.
If you're all okay, then we will come to the end of our session, inshallah. Zafar, is that all right?
Yes, Sheikh. Jazakallah khairan.
No written questions I've missed out on or anything?
No.
Okay, brothers and sisters, Jazakumullah khairan. I hope it wasn't too painful for you. Remember in your du'as, and inshallah, we'll try and complete this hadith in the next session.
Inshallah. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.